May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 563. 563. Come thou now, exalted Saviour, bless us with a solemn frame. Teach us now, henceforth, forever, to adore thy precious name. Lovely Jesus, never let us stray again. Hymn 563.
Thank you. most holy word of God from the second epistle of Paul to Timothy. The second epistle of Paul to Timothy, and the second chapter and the third. We'll read chapters 2 and 3. The second epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapters 2 and 3. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboureth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun a profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honour, and some to dishonour. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us that reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious and almighty Lord God, as thou hast spared us each to gather in thy courts on this another Sabbath day, may we have that sense once again of who thou art. Ah, yes, holy, 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 and who we are, sinners. Yea, sinners, we came forth from our mother's womb speaking lies. we were conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. There is not one good found amongst us. But all that might be brought that knowledge of our desperate need. Our desperate need. And not to be found in thy courts with just a form of godliness which hath no power. To be found in thy courts this day, as thou hast spared us so to do, having not dealt with us according to our sins, in wrath thou hast remembered mercy. Be found in thy courts this day. Like those Greeks of old, sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, give me Christ, or else I die. Or coming up, because we have a living desire and a longing to hear the Lord speak peace and pardon into the soul, to give a little hope. Give a little hope as regards our never dying soul and eternity. Or leave us not to just forms that have no power. May we know what it is to tremble at thy word, that word which searches us out, that word which is like the nail in a sure place, or the sharp two-edged sword. That word that has an effect and cannot be removed. Oh, that word that may cut up root and branch what we perceive of our religion. Ah, yes, a religion which may be of no more than that which is of the flesh. But oh, to know, like the apostle, when thou didst lay the act to the root of his religion, as a Pharisee of the Pharisees. His desire was then that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Ah, know who? Christ. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is by faith in Christ. And so we plead, as thou hast spared us, to gather again this day. Lengthen out our days here upon the earth, that thou wouldest take us each in hand, direct our steps into that narrow way which leadeth unto life. But oh, yes, we know that it is days of darkness, and sometimes we wonder whether we're in the right way. Sometimes we wonder whether we set out in that right way. But, O Lord, we plead. Do lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. And shine into our very hearts. And work mightily within. And, O, we plead then. Bring us each into that narrow way which does lead unto life. Leave us not to a broad way which leadeth unto destruction. And so we plead, do remember us each from the youngest here that has gathered to the oldest. And we would not be unmindful of those that are unable to gather. Those afflictions and infirmities and various things that detain. Lord, we know thou canst go to them where they are, and we plead that thou mightest go unto one or another where they are and favour them with thy presence this day. Oh, thou knowest those that are with us in spirit, but their bodily presence cannot be found here because of their circumstance, because of the path, and perhaps because of affliction. So we plead, may thy blessing be known and felt in their hearts where they are. May they know thy presence. But as thou hast favoured us to gather, we thank thee for the means of grace. We thank thee for the opportunity. And we thank thee for thy precious word. And, O Lord, we plead then that we might be truly found amongst those. Ah, yes, despised of the world, looked upon and mocked and scorned, but all found amongst those walking in the footsteps of the shepherd who likewise was despised and rejected of men, and we once likewise despised and rejected thee. But all under grace, brought into the fold of Christ, and following in the footsteps of the shepherd. And thou knowest those that now feel at times it is often days of darkness. Days of darkness and distress are our portion here below. But oh, to know it is again and again, that precious truth, that that one that is the author of our faith shall be the finisher of it. And it must be, as we go a journey on, looking alone unto Jesus. Looking alone unto Jesus, so to enable us each to look again. Ah, perhaps we're found in the depths, and perhaps even now they are dealing with one or another because of their sin. They're turning aside, even like we think of Jonah of old. Yes, thou didst deal with him, but what a mercy if thou dost deal with us and correct us as sons and daughters. Ah, yes, where we prove that chastening of the Lord, no chastening for the present seemeth joyous but grievous, but nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Oh, perhaps one feels me under that chastening and the hiding of thy face, but oh, like Jonah there, he knew what it was to go down into the depths, and the waves and the billows went over his head. But all there, that grain of living faith and the blessed Spirit breathing upon him there. Oh, look again toward thy holy temple. And out of the depths, out of the belly of hell, cried I. And oh, what a mercy thou didst hear his cries. And oh, what a wonderful thing it is when we're brought to see that thy mercy and thy grace and thy favours, even as we read in thy word, for the rebellious also. And we find, do we not, as the lines of the hymn, rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still, but since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfil. And so perhaps one feels those chastenings and those dark paths and the hiding of thy face, but oh, what a mercy. Oh, look again toward thy holy temple. Oh, and have not some proved it to be so? Oh, when we've been enabled to look again, and thou hast not dealt with us as our sins deserved, but once again in wrath, thou hast remembered mercy, and thou hast granted those restorations. But Lord, thou knowest the path of each one, and thy word does declare, it is through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom. And so thou knowest each one's trials and tribulations, the difficulties of the way, the things which are hard to be understood. Lord, we plead that thou wouldest govern all for them, manage all, by the way unto the end. And it is a day of darkness and distresses. It is a day of much confusion, a day of much wondering where the scene will end. But, O Lord, we often think of that in Isaiah's prophecy concerning Christ, that one that was to come but has now come and accomplished all in the sinner's room place instead, that is now sitting on the right hand of the Father, having ascended on high. Oh, that one that waits to be gracious. Oh, is it not wonderful? Counselor, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Ah, yes, and that government we read in that chapter in Isaiah, do we not? The government rests upon thy shoulder. And I believe in that way it is that personal government regarding individuals and collectively for the Church of Christ. But that government rests upon thy shoulder. Oh, we see such a sufficiency there. Oh, yes, it doesn't speak in the plural shoulders, but upon the shoulder. Oh, yes, there is that sufficiency there, according to the needs and troubles and trials of each one. Oh, so do be pleased to go before and manage this one and that one's path, this one and that one's difficulty. Lord, make ways where there seems to be no way. Make mountains flow down at thy presence. Make those dark places light and those rough places plain. Oh, may they see there is help laid upon one that is mighty. And so to remember those younger ones here, they think of the little babes and those growing up now and those going on into life. Lord, and we plead that thou hast work in their hearts whilst young in years. And that which is attended to in the Sabbath school, may it be that even that word which is our good seed, sown into their very hearts, even in their young years, that it might yet bring forth fruit unto thy honour and thy glory. But Lord, we plead, take the young ones in hand. May they know what it is to call upon thee in their day of trouble. Oh, in their day of trouble, we think even that they're very little ones. But as they grow up and go on into life and have those things before them, may they seek that counsel of thee. May they seek that wisdom which cometh from above. But we think once again of that in thy word. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. So we plead for the young and the rising race. Remember parents in their duties. And it is a great and heavy duty, is it not? As they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And as we live in this day where how solemn it is, there is evil promoted, thrust upon us, and especially even upon the very young, how solemn is the day. May it please thee, grant parents that wisdom to counter the wickedness promoted under the law of the land, or in having to counter those arguments. And may it please thee, perhaps one or another they feel, how can we? But if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally, and upbraideth not. Oh, may they seek that counsel of thee in these difficult matters and solemn matters. For it is a day of evil, is it not? A dark and perilous day. But Lord, we plead that thou wouldest be their helper in this. And those in the midst of life that bear the heat and burden of the day, oh, perhaps they've come into thy courts and they find this concern and that concern seems to be on the one hand and upon the other. Oh, and they're taunted by Satan that everything had come to nothing. Well, we live in a day where there's much anxiety, uncertainty. But all may they prove, yes, the gold and silver thine, the cattle upon 1,000 hills. The Lord is able to provide. For hast thou not said, the earth is the Lord's? Yes, thy word declares it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So to enable each one to cast their burden upon thee, those cares of this life, all the cares of this life, and perhaps even one feels to be like Martha. Their desire is toward thee. Their desire is that they might sit at thy feet and hear thy words. But they feel so much like Martha, careful and troubled about many things. Lord, to be pleased to hear their groanings. They're, in that way, they're prisoners. Yet prisoners of hope, but prisoners. We're taken captive by these things. Oh, do grant a deliverance to those prisoners and lift up out of that, we plead, out of these things of time, out of these cares, and oh, brought perhaps even in this way, in that sweet liberty, the gospel, that they might hear thy words. Ah, yes, and it might be meat and drink unto them. And so we plead that it might be in thy house this day, meat in thy house, to poor sinners, needy sinners, hell-deserving sinners, dying sinners. Remember those in the even time of their life, they feel the mud-walled cottage shake. Heart and flesh begin to fail. Oh, we plead that they might know again and again thy everlasting arms, the arms of the God of Jeshurun, one that has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So do grant them those comforts, bring to their remembrance. Or perhaps they feel their mind fails and their spirit fails and weakness comes upon them. But be their remembrancer. Bring to their remembrance all the words which thou hast spoken to them. Bring to their remembrance all those ways and those Ebenezer stones. Yes, looking back over life's path and seeing all the way which the Lord their God hath led them. That it might be that encouragement to them. He who hath helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through and give me daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to thy praise. And any afflicted ones, Lord, we plead the blessing upon the means available in our day. That it might be to their bodies good and to the restoring of that one to their wonted place. But oh, sanctify the path and sweeten all the pain. May they prove yet that it's amongst those all things that work together for good. Yes, whether it is affliction of body or circumstance, those things which thou dost permit to come, to us they seem cross and quite contrarious. They seem out of place, but may there be a proving. It's amongst those all things which thou hast appointed, and they work together for good to them that love God, to those that accord according to his purpose. Do remember Zion in these dark and evil days, minished and brought low. Ah, the effect the leaven has crept in. Oh, how solemn we see, begins to leaven the whole lump. Open our eyes, O Lord, we plead. Bring us each back to that narrow way which leadeth unto life. Ah, is there an asking after the old paths? Read it again last night. Ah, yes, ask ye for the old paths as we read it in Jeremiah. But they said they would not. Ah, yes, as they're seeking to broaden the way, to make things easier, to make acceptable sin. Ah, how solemn it is. We've seen it in the national church, the acceptance of sin, and now that floodgate is open there. Everything is accepted. Abomination is accepted. It makes us tremble. But, O Lord, do search our hearts and try our ways. And may we be brought even into that narrow way. Yes, thy word declares it. It is a narrow way, not a broad way. Not a slightly widened way to accept this and that, but it is a narrow way which leadeth unto life. And we tremble because we also read these words. Ah, many are called and few are chosen. Many are called and few are chosen. So may it please, it might be a searching of our hearts. Search our hearts and try our ways. Ah, see if there be any wicked way in our heart. Bring us each that true repentance and godly sorrow. Oh, true repentance and godly sorrow. And in the hour of temptation, oh, may we by faith be brought to view Christ in his sufferings. Christ in his sufferings. And as a hymn writer put it, a view just for a moment, what are our sins costly? Those sufferings which were so intense that angels have no perfect sense. And shall not then sin be exceedingly sinful? Nothing to be trifled with, dallied with, given into, but sin exceedingly sinful. So we plead then, have mercy upon us, build us up again according to thy most holy faith. Bring back wanderers, bring back the rebellious. Lord, have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us. And do remember also this guilty land and nation. Lawmakers put upon the statute book laws which are an abomination in thy sight, are they not? They give license to abominations. And now we see there's that ever-increasing flood, and it brings such confusion. As we've seen those confusions that have come to light through these things in recent times. And is it not because of acceptance of these abominations? Confusion. Lord, we plead, as a nation, turn us once again, and we shall be turned. Show our leaders what they ought to do. Break their hard hearts. Frustrate their evil designs. And oh, if it could please thee, there might be a repealing of those laws which are so contrary, completely opposite to thy laws. But man in our day, he does not want thee to reign over him. And through these things they say there is no God. Oh, yes, through these things they say there is no God. We do as we please, live as we list. But, oh, Lord, there is that day of judgment. Oh, that day of judgment. But all might be many through those, we see thy judgments are in the nations abroad. Maybe many wrought upon by these things to call upon thee in their day of trouble, a day of soul trouble. To seek pardon and forgiveness for their sins and their iniquities, yea, their abominations. Oh, there might be an awakening of many sinners round to come and fill the places. Lord, thou knowest where thy dead elect are. Thou knowest where those are that their names are written in the Lamb's good life. Oh, we plead to hasten that day when thou wilt raise them from the dead. Bring back the prodigals. Bring back those that have turned aside, gone away from thy courts as far as sheep can run. But thy hand is not shortened, it cannot save, and can save even unto the uttermost. Oh, bring back uttermost sinners, smiting upon their breasts, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But now we would seek to turn to thy word. We thank thee for thy mercies thus far, personally and collectively. And as we look upon the nation and certainly we look upon the land as we journey, thou hast heard the cries of the remnant. Thou hast given a harvest in the past year, food for both man and beast. And we see once again the goodly crops springing forth from the earth, according to thy promise, seed time and harvest. Summer and winter, day and night, cold and heat shall not cease whilst the earth remaineth. We deserve to be destroyed like those cities of the plain. But in wrath thou hast remembered mercy. Stir us up to cry more earnestly. But we thank thee for thy mercies and thy favours. We thank thee we can still gather without the fear of man or authority. None can lawfully make us afraid. So we plead now for thy help. Bless us each together. Do us each good. Send an empty away. We plead for the pardon of every sin. And all we've asked amiss, and where we've failed in our asking, do be pleased to make up in giving. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 307. 307. And must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul-perplexing fear? Are these the blessings we expect? Is this the lot of God's elect? Hymn 307.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the second epistle of Paul to Timothy and chapter 2, and the portion that rested upon my mind on the past day is the latter part of verse 19, but we'll read the whole verse. The second chapter then of this second epistle of Paul to Timothy, we read the whole of verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So especially that latter part, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This portion, is it not, and this verse, and that to which we've just read, is amongst those other precepts of the gospel. Yes, naturally we like the comforts of the gospel, and those portions of the word that come when we're in those troubles and trials, but nevertheless, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, as we read, did we not? If I can find it, it's at the end of that, the chapter 3, all scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Yes. Every part of the word of God. We cannot just have one part and not another, or take certain parts and despise others. Everything is necessary. It's all necessary and has its place. But as this word rested upon my mind yesterday afternoon, I almost trembled and thought, well, how can I take such a word? But the word of God declares it. It's that instruction. And my old nature said, well, some will say that's getting very legal. But yes, if we are found amongst those wrought upon by the Spirit, there will be that desire to walk in the ways of the Lord. And those ways of the Lord are not evil. They're not in the way of iniquity. If has that been wrought in your heart and mind by the Spirit, it has that work that it begins out separating work. Separating work, and I turn to it again just now. I believe it's in, I remember it so, Colossians. But there we read these words, if I can find them again. If, yes, in chapter 3 in Paul's epistle to the Colossians, if ye then be risen with Christ, that newness of life, that newness of life, not the letter of the word and as a dead professor, but that one risen with Christ, as we quoted in prayer, I believe we did. We might even know, as the Apostle Paul, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He had a religion, did he not, beforehand as a Pharisee of the Pharisees, which no doubt he thought it stood him in good stead. It brought about the applause and the approbation of men. But when the axe was laid to that root, there was that wrought in him by the power of God. It is not by the spirit of man. Man cannot work it. It is by the power of God. And there was that wrought in him, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection. Yes, the power of his resurrection. And it is that resurrecting power that can raise a poor sinner out of that in which he was conceived in sin, that deadness. that deadness conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity, and who can know it? And none knows it until that work of grace is begun. We know it's a mercy. Man is given a measure of that which is right and wrong, although we feel that is gradually being eroded in our day. But nevertheless, there's still that amongst many, that knowledge of right and wrong. But what a mercy if we be brought to view the law of God in its holiness, and it's made us tremble, made us see what we are, what we have need of. Then, if there's that wrought in the heart, there's that change. A change. If there's no change, it's not the work of God. Oh, sadly we see, do we not? We see in our day, as regards, and it came to my attention some months ago, regarding one now taken up, as it were, a position in the Church of England, in a parish, and they live in abomination. They live in abomination. Ah, yes, they have a form of godliness, and as we had, do we not, in that first hymn, I felt a little encouragement. So trembling to take certain words, but oh, what a mercy to be led forth by the Spirit. Lead us forth by thy sweet Spirit. Yes, the Spirit taken, a poor sinner in hand, but it was that fourth verse, may we never rest or glory in a form without the power. Jesus, make us wise and holy, thee to love and to adore, and in living, live in thee forevermore. Yes, and the verse before speaks of this, and what a mercy of that wrought in the heart of a poor sinner. Into thy heart-breaking sorrows, may our souls be sweetly led. May we gaze upon the furrows that within thy back were made, and believing a fellowship with Jesus have. Yes, brought to view Christ in his sufferings. Christ in his sufferings. Then, as we turn to that verse just now in Colossians, if ye then be risen with Christ, that's that work of grace, that one brought up out of that deadness, that place of unconcern, brought up out of that form of godliness which hath no power. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Then this, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore. And I meditated upon it late yesterday afternoon and again this morning. Mortify. That word mortify. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. As I said, I heard of one that has been appointed to a place in the Church of England in that appointment over two parishes. And how solemn as I heard of it. And it is, in the eyes of God, an abomination, the manner of living. No mortifying of those sins in their members. They're still yet dead. They're not risen with Christ. There's not a work of grace begun in their heart. It is something which is false. It is not built upon Christ, that foundation, that sure foundation. It is that one building upon a foundation which is no different than the sand. In that last great day, it shall not stand. That faith which they think they have and they mention the name of Christ, it is only with the lip. It is only with the lip. It's a solemn thing if our religion is just naming the name of Christ with the lip, but know nothing in the heart. If there's outwrought in the heart, there'll be a mortifying. Yes, a changing of the heart and renewing the will and a turning the feet to Zion's hill. Ah, yes, grace will begin that separation, that separating work within. We know we carry about that old man of sin, and we shall do until the end of our days. And blessed be God, the elder shall not serve the younger. The elder shall serve the younger. The new man of grace, the younger one. Yes, at times we find the old man of sin begins to rule and reign over us and take us in hand. But the word of God declares this: the elder shall serve the younger. The elder shall. But if the elder still reigns and there's no man of grace, it will be sin, iniquity. There's no distinction between right and wrong and knowledge of right and wrong. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And it lists these sins: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked as some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, etc. You read that. I'll read a few more verses. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed. Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And then you read the rest of that chapter at your leisure. That chapter 3 in Colossians. But oh, it's a solemn thing, is it not? If we're found amongst those that name the name of Christ, but still walk in iniquity, still content to roll some sin under our tongue as a sweet morsel. Ah, yes, it searches us out, does it not? Brings us to this: search me and try me, and see if any wicked way in my heart, and lead me in that way everlasting. Bring me to that true repentance and godly sorrow. True repentance and godly sorrow. Ah, oh, dear one of oneself, as we turn to the word of God to read this morning, and I just opened the word of God and it fell upon the 119th Psalm. It fell upon the 119th Psalm. Yes, you read this Psalm 119. That is one walking in the fear of the Lord, in the tender fear of the Lord, that filial fear which is through love. Ah, yes, that one wrought upon by the Spirit, convinced of his sin, led in measure to a precious Christ, but to see such a beauty in Christ, they have their desire after him and after his righteousness. I read those two first sections of that Psalm 119 this morning. But it begins like this: Blessed are the undefiled. In the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. That's the word of God. The blessing of the Lord will rest upon them. Aren't they be brought to that desire? Even as the psalmist there, yes, acknowledging, you read through the Psalm 119, he acknowledged, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. That is how we are by nature. Our soul cleaveth unto the dust. We by nature are of the earth, earthy. We're defiled. We're defiled. But all like the psalmist there in that Psalm 119. Do we know what it is to come like that? Teach me. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. The way of thy statutes. That doesn't come naturally to a man or a woman or a child. I know it in my own heart. It doesn't come naturally. But the Spirit will work it in the heart. The Spirit will work that in the heart. Yes, as I said a little earlier, it changes the heart and renews the will and turns the feet to Zion's hill. The work of grace is an effectual work. It doesn't leave a poor sinner where he is. Yes, it doesn't leave him in his deadness and darkness and in his sins unmoved. You read the Apostle Paul. Ah, yes, the Apostle Paul, no doubt as a Pharisee, could say he prayed. But the Apostle was brought to this. Lord, what will they have me to do? Lord, what will thou have me to do? No doubt in that desire, lead me forth with that right way, that I might go to that city of habitation whose builder and maker is God. And in that leading and teaching, yes, the hymn we began with, come thou now exalted Saviour, bless us with a solemn frame, teach us now, henceforth forever, to adore thy precious name. Has Christ been made precious to you? That name you once despised. That name you once despised. Yes, we did despise. We may have come to the house of God, but I can remember, yes, even in this way, sitting in the house of God. Longing for the end of the service. Why? I didn't want to hear. Despise that name. But has your ear been bored to the doorpost? Your ear been bored to the doorpost? You come up to the house, to the house of the Lord, to hear what he might speak. Often think of those words at the beginning of chapter 53 in Isaiah. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But all to be brought into the further depths, the glorious depths of that chapter, as it was made known unto the Ethiopian eunuch, to see that he's born one that bore our griefs. Our griefs, carried our sorrows, one that was wounded for for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And blessed be God, we're brought to this. And with his stripes we are healed. Ah, yes, those are brought out of nature's darkness, their desire is, teach me. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. For therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. And quicken thou me in the way, in thy way. But oh, that Psalm 119, you read the whole lot of it. Yes, it is a long psalm. But over the top of my Bible it says, prayers, praises and professions of obedience. But it's a living desire of a quickened soul. A living desire. And when we think of that, if I can find it also, I turned to it yesterday afternoon. if we're found amongst those as we read of them. In Jeremiah chapter 31. Yes, that which is wrought in the heart of a poor sinner. Wrought in the heart effectually and effectively. We read there that towards the end of that chapter 31 in Jeremiah, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Yes, that covenant according to the gospel by Jesus Christ. Christ being the mediator of that new covenant. We read in art concerning many those things in the Old Testament and the sacrifice that had to be made. But there were types and shadows of that which was to come, which was Christ, and by the offering of himself. All that was done away. All that was done away. He offered himself once and for all. And truly stood in their room place instead. The room place instead of his church, his chosen. Going back to that hymn we began with again. In that verse 3. Into thy heartbreaking sorrows. Yes, into thy heartbreaking sorrows. To see that one that so suffered. In our room place instead. As that spotless lamb. The eternal Son of God. Ah, yes, that new covenant. I shall be the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their inward parts. I'll put my law in their inward parts and write it upon their hearts and will be their God. And they shall be my people. The law of God written in the seat of the affections, in the heart, not on tables of stone. But yes, written in the upon the fleshy tables of the heart. Yes, the fleshy tables of the heart. And there was in the fleshy tables of the heart. That place, seat of the affections. And the law then becomes, yes, the way of God becomes the delight. The delight of a poor sinner. Perhaps it's in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. If I can find it. Yes, say the apostle writing unto the Corinthians, speaking of that which he had preached unto them of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he saw that effect it had upon the people by the power of God. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. The fleshy tables of the heart. That is that changed heart. That is that heart made, yes, made soft. The heart of stone made tender, taken out, yes, broken. Have they in the desire and a love to the law of God. Those things which regard their walk and their path as they journey in this vale of tears. Can't do the things they once did. Can't act in the way they once did without, those twinges of conscience. Sadly, we are brought into those times and seasons where we see we've departed. And brought to realize we've offended a God. We're found as mourners in Zion. Oh, no, some that have spoken like this. Got no problem with this. Got no problem with that. Ah, yes, into thy heartbreaking sorrows. May our souls be sweetly led. May we gaze upon the furrows that within thy back were made and believing fellowship with Jesus have. May we never rest or glory in a form without the power. Jesus, make us wise and holy. Thee to love and to adore. And in living, live in thee forevermore. And so as we try to speak this morning then, and that word which has rested upon our spirit, it is our way of instruction. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. But the first part of that verse, what a mercy. What a mercy. As regards the flock of Christ's fold, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. So there will be those that, yes, those sheep in wolves' clothing. There were those that, err from the faith. But, what a mercy. There will be that effectually wrought in the heart of those whom we have loved from all eternity. All the Father giveth shall come to me. Do we not read that in the word of God, if I can find it? All that the Father give me shall come to me. Blessed be God. It is not left in the hands of man or in the hands of individuals. All that the Father give me shall come to me. My sheep hear my voice. They shall hear that voice. Ah, yes, there shall be those that are be found, yes, naming the name of Christ, but have not departed from iniquity. They shall be found naming the name of Christ and perhaps revered by men, sinful men. But that day shall find them out, the day of judgment. But blessed be God as regards, as regards the chosen flock of God. The flock of God, they shall come. They shall come, and not one shall be left out. I can't lay my eyes upon the word at the moment. Ah, here we are. The foundation standeth sure, having this seal. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. But the question is this: are we found amongst those that have heard his voice and follow, walking in his ways, walking in that narrow way which leadeth unto life, or amongst those that name the name of Christ, and we are found in that broad way which leadeth unto destruction? They name the name of Christ, but they're none of his. They may say in that day, we have done this and that in thy name. And how solemn are those words, depart from me, for I never knew you. Depart from me, for I never knew you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. But all to be found amongst those sheep of Christ's fold. Yes, we live in perilous times, we're not. The word declared we read this morning. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Ah, be found amongst those that know it is a tremble at his searching word, a word that searches them out. Ah, yes, know it is to tremble at the law. The smoke is a Mount Sinai. Ah, those tables of stone, but all under grace. When Christ is revealed to a poor sinner, that one does satisfy the law. He came to fulfill the law, not to do away with it, but to make it honourable. But all those that are under grace and are brought into that sweet knowledge of Christ, that one that satisfied the law. Those laws will be written in the flesh, he tells their heart. They'll become their delight, like that's the psalmist in that Psalm 119. Their delight. Ah, yes, I know that I often turn to that Psalm 119. And I thought upon it, and we have a goodly number of young people here. But Psalm 119, we read in the ninth verse, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments, living desire. Thy words have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The tender fear of the Lord. One has brought to that where they eschew evil, yet they know in their own heart, left to themselves, are left to themselves. They're capable of this and that and everything that, the evil known to man under the sun, if they were left to themselves. But thy word have I hid in mine heart. The word of the Lord. Ah, yes, what a mercy if whilst young in years, the word of the Lord been sealed up in your hearts to direct your steps, to guide you in the way. The word of the Lord which comes with power and has that effect. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Teach me. Oh, do you find oftentimes, teach me. Guide me, lead me, keep me. Show me thy paths. Show me thy paths and lead me in that way everlasting. But the time has gone, must leave it there. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Burgess will preach again this evening at 6:30 and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Sunday school at Bethany this afternoon at 2:30. Tomorrow evening there'll be a prayer meeting at 7 o'clock with an address by Mr. Timothy Parrish. And Mr. Graham Cottingham is expected to preach to us on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. And Mr. Tim Parrish will preach again next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school. Our closing hymn is 1038. 1038. Sinners in their deep affliction sigh and groan beneath their load. Long to read their own election, and with pleasure say, my God, trembling, fearing, hoping still in Jesus' blood. Hymn 1038.
we know what it is to tremble at thy word. But may we likewise know what it is, that joy of thy salvation made known unto a poor sinner. And we plead then, lead us forth by that right way. We might go to that city of habitation, may be found amongst those mourners in Zion. We shall be a mourner all the days of our life, shall we not? Sin will be exceedingly sinful to us. We shall prove this, like the apostle, O wretched man that I am. Again and again we find how wretched we are. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, may that be our portion, our hope. For our hope must be built upon nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, do bless thy word. May it go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that which I have seen amiss, do cover it with the mantle of thy forgiving love. Do be pleased to remember the young as they gather. Lord, may that word be a word, yes, that is sown into their young hearts whilst young in years, and may yet in due time bring forth to thine honour and thy glory. And do be pleased to come up again at the evening hour. Favour us with thy presence, send none empty away. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.